Hannibal's army of the Second Punic War. The Carthaginians, unlike the Greeks, really did not put most of their population into infantry. The tendency was for the Carthaginians to purchase mercenary troops and other specialists. That's what they had done in the First Punic War. Obviously, some of the Carthaginians were involved in the infantry, but most of the time the Carthaginians were the sailors, were the navy piece of it. Well, after the First Punic War, you have the colonization of Iberia, modern-day Spain, and they will then take over a great deal of it, which of course is inhabited by the Celtiberians, which are a very warlike group of people, very much like the Gauls. And the couple of things about the Celtiberians is, besides being very warlike, they also if they think they're losing, they will run away, which can be a problem. So when Hannibal mounted his forces for the invasion of Italy, he put together an interesting mix. He had about half of his troops mercenary soldiers that the Carthaginians had hired. You would have found them wearing basically a tunic. Some of them may have had a little metal breastplate protecting the center of their chest. They would have had a kind of a skull cap helmet. They would have had a oval shield with in the center of that shield you would have found a boss. You would have found either a circular device in the middle for bashing, or a long piece that raised up from the shield, again for impact. Use the spear, about approximately the same size as the Greeks did, about 7 feet long. They also threw them, and then they have a sword, and that is going to be most of their mercenary forces from the infantry standpoint. And they will eventually get allies with Macedonia, but Hannibal will never really see those forces. There will be some troops that will have kind of a chainmail covering with the longer sarissa that the Macedonians use, with a circular shield and a helmet that also looks very similar to what you would find the Greeks using, except it's open face that you could see. The rest of the infantry is made up of the Celtiberians, and the Celtiberians would be in pants or in a loincloth, but usually in a pants with a cloak, a helmet with cheek protection. They will also have kind of a rectangular oval shield with a boss in the middle, a regular short sword. Some of them will have used a falcata, which is kind of a curved sword, which would have a blade, a sharpened edge on the inside, and the backside would be completely open. When the Celtiberians went into combat, they would scream and yell and do all sorts of things. The Romans complained that the Celtiberians didn't bathe enough, and they claimed that you could smell their army if the wind was right in certain distances. But they are indeed fearsome. They're just a little loose when it comes to combat. But Hannibal is aware of that, and at the Battle of Cannae and at other battles, he will utilize them in the beginning of the battle and then allow them to retreat, which the Romans would then interpret as them running away, and then sucker the enemy into a trap. So the Celtiberians could indeed be very crucial. But Hannibal's army's oddity, if you will, is the elephants, the war elephants that he brought with him. There will be more than 20 of them that will be taken on the original expedition. Only one of them will make it over the Alps and will stay with him the rest of the time. So that's not really going to be a very important aspect of his army, except it did scare the Romans initially. They hadn't seen them in a long time. There hadn't been any in Italy since the times of Pyrrhus from Epirus. But when they first start out, they would have a little castle on the top where you would have a bowman, and then you would have a spearman, and the spearman would have the 16-foot-long sarissa. And outside of the little castle, you have the mahout, the driver. This is the person who trained the animal and is in charge of driving it. The castle is held in place by a series of chains that are draped over and underneath the elephant, so you're really not going to knock those off. The tusks of the elephants will sometimes have brass fittings on the tips and central parts that kind of give them a little bit of protection. But the weakest part of the whole war elephant is the mahout, who for the most part wears no armor, because you kill him and the elephant is then driving itself, and by throwing flame in its eyes, poking at its eyes. The Romans used to use flame and spear points in their genitals to kind of irritate the animal. Once they get perturbed, they'll run in just about any direction. So they can become a negative. Now, the one thing about Hannibal, with having bowmen and a long spearman, this allows to help protect the elephant a little bit more than, let's say, at the time of Pyrrhus of Epirus, because the Romans, initially, under his attacks, created a team to deal with the elephant. There was a group that attempted to distract it with spears and flame, and then there was a group with axes to try to chop the trunk off and all sorts of other stuff. The trunk is what really scared everybody. They didn't want to get picked up and flung around. But it's more of a curiosity than a main event. At the Battle of Cannae, there wouldn't have been any use of the elephants, nor Lake Trasimene. Zama, they had some, but that's much later. The key to Hannibal's army was his Numidian forces, which are allies in North Africa, and they were cavalry. And they were not scouts, they were fighting cavalry. And of course, in the ancient world, there aren't any stirrups, so it's a real trick to fight on horseback. Now, their counterparts, the Romans, they had cavalry, but the cavalry, or the equites, if you will, are for the most part just scouts with hardly any fighting capability. And that's precisely what Hannibal was creating his army. He created an army to deal with the weaknesses that the Romans had. The Romans are a frontal assault group, and they generally battled it out in the main area with infantry against infantry. By using his Numidian cavalry, he constantly runs the Roman cavalry off, which are usually shielding the flanks of a Roman army, and that allows his cavalry then to run behind the Romans, encircle them, throw spears, do whatever they want to do. And it's the Numidian cavalry that is the key to the entire Second Punic War, because until the Romans can put their cavalry up to the same level, they're always at a disadvantage. And in the ultimate end, the Battle of Zama, his commander, the commander that Hannibal had with him in Italy, Massinissa, switches sides. The Numidians become allies of the Romans against Hannibal, and what had been his greatest advantage against the Romans will become a massive liability in the end. So it's a masterful use of the different arms and equipment. Now, the Carthaginians do not use a lot of siege equipment. He's going to move into Italy and strike around and what have you, and try to be quick in movement. But it's a real interesting mix of forces, and of course he knows exactly what he's going to be facing. The standard legion that everyone is very familiar with. It will not have the segmented lorica that you find at the time of Augustus on. They're going to have chainmail, or they're going to look very Greek to some extent in many cases. So that's for the most part what Hannibal's army looked like, and a different. The Numidians have great courage and fighting capability. The mercenaries usually fight very well. The Celtiberians give you that kind of wild card effect in there. You know how your enemy, the Romans, are going to be very disciplined. So you have to try and break them out of that mold. And Hannibal is excellent in doing that. Now, as far as sources on Hannibal's army, you can just read about it from the first hand. You have Livy's ancient account of the war with Hannibal, the Punic Wars by Goldsworthy, Hannibal by Harold Lamb is an excellent biography, and it will of course talk about the whole thing. It's like riding with him. and then Hannibal's army, Carthage against Rome, by Canales, C-A-N-A-L-E-S. So I hope you enjoyed that, and don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com, and leave a comment, ask a question. Thank you very much.